The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Game day at my house? It's chaos, but like in a fun way. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' toys are going off, and somehow everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep Duracell stocked. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance you can trust. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in stores at Lowe's and Walmart or on Amazon.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Today on The Grave Talks, Don't Touch My Baby, a conversation with Francis and Doug Weber. When you bring home a new baby, as a parent, you will become overly protective. Every noise, coo, and movement will make you look. Slowly, you begin to relax. And suddenly, the baby has moved. But how? The child's only 2 months old. She's still swaddled with no ability to even roll. This nightmare came to a head when the child was found in the middle of the night, only feet away, lying on her back, facing the dark door, leading to a very peculiar crawl space in a house that was once abandoned. This is just part of the nightmare that Francis and Doug Weber experienced. This is their story today on The Grave Talks.
For me, I've had experiences since I was a child. Mm-hmm. Little things of just, I've always had been able to sense when something's around me. And it, as I got older, the feelings got stronger to where I would start to hear voices. And when I was, I can't remember how old it was, many, many, many years ago, I actually saw a young girl standing in a road. And it was in the middle of the day and someone was in the car with me and they saw it too. So I knew I hadn't imagined it and it completely freaked me out. And the person that was in the car would never talk about it again because it just scared them to death. But it just stuck with me throughout, like, as I got older. And then once I became an adult, I just noticed my sensitivity towards it got stronger and stronger. I started seeing things. I started hearing my name called out. And what escalated for us was once actually Doug and I got married and we had our baby, she's 9 years old now, but when we moved into this house that ended up being very haunted, and that's really where everything just escalated for our family.
I want to talk about a lot of that. I want to ask you first, why do you think your sensitivity got stronger and stronger over time?
I don't know. You know, I think it's just because when I was younger, I was afraid of it. So I kind of like would see things or hear things and I would ignore it. I'm like, nope, I'm not looking over there. I don't want to know. But then I think as I started kind of paying more attention to it, I started, like, I'd be woke up in the middle of the night and there'd be, I could see, the best way I could describe it is balls of energy at the foot of my bed. And I would open my eyes and I would just like stare at it. And so I started kind of like researching, I started reading books, watching the shows, you know, just kind of like trying to get comfortable with it because I was afraid of it for so long. And then one of my strongest experiences years ago was after my dad died. He died by like 20 years ago. And then I noticed that it started happening a lot when he passed away. So I had to take notice, you know what I mean? Like I'd hear his voice straight out calling my name and I'd be like, oh my gosh, and I would leave the room and, you know, but then I just try to get more comfortable, like not be so afraid of it, try to like accept it a little bit more, if that's the way to describe it.
Sure.
But, you know, and like I said, it wasn't till, as we'll tell you, our experiences with our daughter that really just opened me wide up to everything.
And I want to get to that in just a moment. It's very fascinating. Now, when you have these experiences or you hear these voices, you had said earlier there was an experience where the other person saw the girl by the road.
Right.
But when you've been having these experiences as adults, Doug, are you sensing anything? Are you seeing the same thing she's experiencing?
It has happened before. My experience didn't even begin until we had moved into this house. We're originally from Tucson, Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then we had, been in contact with some friends up here in Northeast Ohio, which is where we live now. And so when we moved, we packed up everything in a U-Haul with our 2-week-old daughter and moved up here. And we had no idea what we're moving into. You know what I mean? It was a house that we didn't know had been previously abandoned. And we had actually found, I don't know the best way to describe it, like strange drawings or markings on the wall in the basement when mm-hmm. we first moved in. But I guess my point is that my paranormal experiences in my life didn't happen at all until we moved into that house. It was brand new for me.
So when you look back as a child and kind of growing up into your adulthood, what was your opinion on the paranormal if you had never had anything happen to you?
Oh, you know, I had always thought it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I'd seen the shows and seen the movies and stuff. I had just never had any personal experience. I always was interested in it. But didn't really experience anything or pursue anything until it happened to me firsthand.
Yeah. So this is interesting. This house that you guys ended up in, strange drawings, markings that you're finding. You later find out that it had been abandoned for a period of time. Take me to the very beginning of this house. How did you come upon it? And where did it go from there?
Well, when we were moving, we had friends up here. And, you know, I don't know if you know anything about Northeast Ohio. There's tons of suburbs. And some of the suburbs are a little less safe. And some of the suburbs are a little more appealing as to where you'd want to move your wife and daughter. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
And so these people were really helping us out, finding places in these nicer suburbs. And we came across a house that just, it looked perfect, man. You know, we were living in an apartment. So we get a house that's got 3 bedrooms and a bathroom and the attic's been converted to a big old bedroom. We thought we had hit the jackpot. We were super, super excited. And so
what was the state of the house when you saw it? Was it like all ready to, you know, move in ready basically? So that the days of it being abandoned, it wasn't like a property that was in distress that was out there.
No. Okay. I think the landlord had purchased it sometime before putting it on the market.
Okay.
Cause it looked nice. I mean, it was in really good shape.
Okay.
We didn't find out until
over a year later
that because we had started to have experiences, and we actually went to the landlord and asked him, you know, has anything like this happened to any of your previous tenants? And he's like, you know, well, actually I have never had any previous tenants. This house was, I bought an abandoned property. You know what I mean? So that's how we found out.
So what were some of those things you brought to him saying, has this ever happened to anybody else or you?
Well, I was the one that brought, he happened to come over one day and I was just like, can I ask you something? I was like, have you ever had any of your former tenants complaining about things happening in the house? And he's like, well, what do you mean? And I told him, like, women calling out, or I told him that we're seeing shadows in the house. And he just looked at me like I was crazy. And he's like, no. He's like, you know, it could just be an old house. You know, houses make noises. I'm like, I am telling you, because I didn't go into detail some of the other, like, more traumatic things we'd been through. Because it was stuff that I didn't even talk about for many years until recently when we've done some interviews. I've kind of been opening up because it was just really hard to talk about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, I told him, I was like, we are hearing voices calling out. We are hearing, you know, bangs on the wall. We see shadows moving across the floor.
Yeah.
He's like, he just looked at me like I was crazy. He just kind of blew us off and that was it.
So take me back to the house, not necessarily what you were telling the landlord after all these things had started, but take me back to the house. You get moved in. What was your first experience where you kind of shook your head and went, what's going on?
The very, very first experience was in the upstairs in the big attic bedroom I've previously mentioned. There are crawl spaces, which where we come from in Tucson, Arizona, crawl spaces are not a common thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the attics and basements and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's a lot of single story houses where we come from.
Sure.
So when we saw these little tiny doors along the floorboard, I was really interested in it. And the doors in the upstairs bedroom, they were seemingly sealed shut. I couldn't open it by hand. I had gotten some tools. You know, I got a knife, I got a screwdriver and a hammer and tried to pry the door open just so I could simply pop my head in there and see what it looked like.
Yeah.
But it was sealed. So I figured, you know, whoever had done it, they didn't want us in there, or, you know, they had glued it shut for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, so we put some furniture in front of it and bada bing, bada boom, you know. And so a couple weeks go by and I go upstairs. And Francis had a kind of a fancier jewelry stand. It's a kind of a really nice deal, about 3 or 4 feet tall on some legs. It was pretty heavy. Yeah, well, that was moved about 2 feet to the left of where I had put it, and the door was wide open.
I just ran down the stairs. I was like, it was like that feeling when you just feel something was wrong. And I just ran down the stairs. I'm like, that is not right. I don't know what just happened. I was so freaked out. It was really creepy.
So the door that you couldn't get open was wide open?
Yes. It was wide open. And for me, that right there was my very first paranormal experience in my entire life. I couldn't believe what had happened. I had tried to pry this thing open for a while. I put some good effort into it, you know, so
I made him nail it shut immediately.
Not to mention the fact that this not ridiculously, but relatively heavy jewelry box had been moved
feet
to the side.
Well, I have to ask, what did you find in there?
Absolutely nothing. Yep. Wow. There was nothing in there. I got a flashlight, popped my head in, you know, crawled in there for a minute, found nothing. It was dusty.
Yeah.
It didn't smell very nice, but there was nothing in there, man. Nothing.
Interesting. Very interesting that would happen that way. So you have this experience, you know, neither of you did this, and there's no logical explanation for that just happening.
Yeah, I mean the two week old baby didn't do it.
So you know you're in your new house. You gotta still kind of stay sane, and I'm sure that's, you know, a little alarming. How did things progress from there?
And then slowly over time, it was little things like we'd be upstairs because most of the activity seemed to be upstairs and in the basement, and we had little things happen in the living room, but. It was like the first thing I remember would be watching TV, and I remember like the first time I saw something black, like a black shadow, just move across the floor, and I was like, "Did you see that?" And like it just started happening more and more, and then it was things like one time I was upstairs talking to Doug, with the baby. And all of a sudden I hear, "Mom," because we had a son who was, he was probably like 13 at the time. And I'm like, "What?" He's all, "Mom." I'm like, "What?" And I walk over to the stairs. I'm all, "Clayton, what?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, Clayton is at school. That is, Clayton's not even here."
Oh, you gosh.
Know? And yeah. And so I was like, "Oh my," and we're like, "Oh my gosh." So we go downstairs. We're looking around the house, you know, of course he's not there. He's at school. And then we had experience one time I was in the bathroom and I heard a woman call out and I called out to Doug and he comes out to me and he's like, "Did you hear that?" I was like, "I had heard that. You heard that?" He's like, "Yeah, I just heard some woman call out." And that's what one experience I tried to talk to the landlord about. And it just escalated to where, you know, waking up in the night, one time I heard these loud slams on the wall and I flew out of bed. I'm like, "Doug, someone's knocking on the door. Someone's knocking on the door." He runs downstairs. Of course, nobody's there, you know. And then it started getting more traumatic where our daughter was probably about 2.5 months old, and I used to nurse her at night, so I'd lay her next to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I woke up, the first time it ever happened, I woke up, and I found her hanging off the edge of the bed by my feet, where her back was on, but her feet were dangling. I'm like, "What in the world?" Because, you know, she was only 2 months old. She didn't get down there herself.
Yeah.
So I pulled her up. A couple nights later, it happened again, and I was telling Doug, I was like, "This is really weird. I don't understand, because there's no way she can get down there. She can't roll. She can't do anything."
Yeah,
like
yeah.
And so I think it was happened maybe 3 times. And then one night I woke up and she was gone. And all I remember, it's really hard for me to talk about. So all I remember is flying out of bed. I'm like, "Where is she? Where is she?" And he didn't know what was going on. He just jumps out of bed. And we actually found her, by the crawl space.
Oh, with shit.
Her feet were by the cross, pointed at the crawl space. Yeah, it was the most horrible. I can never explain in my life the feeling in that moment. And I was terrified. And I just remember I told him, I was like, I wanted to tie her to me. I was so afraid to sleep.
Oh, sure.
And I didn't sleep for weeks. She was next to me every night. I just slept with my arms around her. And then it just got worse from there. It was like I tell Doug now, when I reflect on it, I feel like it tried to get me away from her all the time.
Yeah.
Cause like I'd be upstairs, they'd be banging downstairs, or I'd be upstairs, all her toys would start going off downstairs. You know, it would set off the smoke detectors in the basement. It would set off the smoke detectors in the kitchen. It would do so I'd have to constantly run down the stairs, pull batteries out, you know, run back upstairs. Her toys would go off in the middle of the night, making the most horrible noises. I eventually removed batteries out of all her toys, everything. It was terrifying. It was like, I just can't even describe it.
With all those things going on and you having a higher sensitivity than others, obviously you have the stress and everything that's caused by these bizarre things that are going off physically. But how are you feeling emotionally about the house? As at the beginning where things were a little bit slower, as it progressed, what sort of feelings, you know, there's warm feelings, there's, you know, get out feelings. What were you feeling?
It was more just like I started getting more, telling Doug all the time, I'm like, I just feel more and more nervous. I started getting really nervous in there. You know, we would try to just to go on because, you know, it'd get quiet for a while.
Yeah.
But it was like around me and my daughter. Like I'd be on the floor leaning over her one time and Doug's sitting on the couch and I felt something hit me right in the back of the head. And I sat up and he just looked at me. I'm like, "Oh my God, something just hit me in the back of my head."
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and then our daughter, when she started walking, we know she had experiences because on 2 occasions, one time we had the people who found that house for us over. Mm-hmm. I told them, I was like, "There's something wrong with this house." I was like, "There's stuff happening here." And they didn't, you know, they're just kind of like, "Oh yeah, whatever." Well, they happened to be over one time. She's in the hallway and she comes screaming and she's all, "Scared, scared." And we all jump up because we thought something happened. We all come running and she's pointing in this room and then there's nothing in there. Mm-hmm. And then she did the same thing actually probably a few months later and upstairs in the room, Doug and I are talking. I'm like getting ready to walk to my closet to grab some clothes. And she just and this is a closet she played in all the time. She always grabbed all my stuff, you know. She sees me start to walk over there, and she grabs my leg, and she's screaming hysterically. She's pointing at the closet going, scared, scared. And she's trying to pull me away from it. And I'm looking over there. I'm like, I don't see. I'm like, I want to see what she's seeing so bad.
Yeah.
And she's so hysterical. And she was just trying to pull me away from there. And I had no idea what she saw, you know, but she was just so scared. And, you know, those were the two times in that house that we know she had seen something. Because she was just, for such a little baby, she was probably about almost two when that last time happened. And it was just terrifying to see her so scared. And she's grabbing my leg, trying to pull me away from it and pointing over there. And I'm like, oh, my God, what does she see? Because I can't see it, you know.
Does she have any recollection of any of this?
Not at that house. She's actually had experience in this house, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, she has heard us talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we don't go into too much detail around her.
Sure, sure.
Because, you know, I don't know how, you know, especially what happened as a baby. We don't really know how she would react to something like that. So. Mm-hmm.
No, it's understandable. I have a 9-year-old as well. She co-hosts one of the other shows with me one day a week. So.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so she's totally into it. So this, you said, okay, all these things that were going on and it continued to ramp up. How much more happened? That, I mean, tell me more.
I think.
Well, really it was it there as far as once the baby was, once we found her out of the bed and with her feet pointed to the crawl space, like in the room that was next to where we were sleeping, that was by far the most traumatic thing that had ever happened.
Sure.
But it's hard to describe, like just the overall feelings. And then even though it's not these big giant traumatic things that are happening like that, it is a combination of 10,000 little tiny things.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can't walk up the stairs without knowing that you're being watched.
Yeah. We would not go to the bathroom at night because when you go down those stairs, I remember I'd be walking up and I could just feel something had stepped up and was watching me from the bottom of the stairs. So if I ever had to get up in the middle of the night, I'd make him come stand in the hallway and wait for me because I was so scared.
Sure.
It was crazy. You always felt like you're being watched in there.
And Francis mentioned it earlier about the dark balls of energy. You know, when you are ghost hunting or when you see TV shows or anything, the balls of energy are more often than not, they're light anomalies. And so the fact that we never saw light anomalies in this house, mm-hmm. we saw black balls of energy floating and darting around, which I don't know what kind of significance that might have. We've done some research on that, but it's really hard to say what would cause the fact that there was no light anomalies. It was all shadow ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be absolutely terrifying having your child in that position, in that room where you already have had that other experience. So, you know, some context there and you're already having all these horrible things and it seems to be targeting your child.
Yeah.
I mean, as parents, how quick did the conversation come up of maybe we should move?
Yeah. The conversation came up a lot.
Yeah.
And the thing of it was, is that we just didn't have the money to move.
Sure.
We were pretty much choiceless until we could save up enough money to get out of there, which of course eventually did happen. But, you know, and that's funny too, because a lot of times you hear people's conversations about haunted houses. Oh, I'd just move. And it's like, I'd move too if I could.
Yeah. Not that easy. Exactly. So, I mean, was that the climax of the interactions of whatever this was interacting with your daughter, where you found her in front of the crawl space door? Did it just stop?
And her scene, whatever she saw, the last most intense one was when I was trying to go into the closet and she was grabbing my leg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the just the constant messing with everything, constant setting things off. And then what really made us finally leave is I started getting sick at night. And what it was is I would wake up and I wasn't breathing. And I would tell Doug, I was like, we had a few nights and I woke up and I was like gasping. And I was like, it's so weird. It's like all of a sudden I stopped breathing. Mm-hmm. And then one night I just woke up and I was just so freaked out because I couldn't catch any air. And I told him, I looked at him, and I said, there's something in this house. It does not like me, and yeah. I'm scared, and I want to leave. And we literally went out the next weekend, and we found another house to rent. We paid on two houses for, like, the last 3 months of our lease mm-hmm. because I was like, something, I go, if I stay here any longer, I just don't know. I go, there's something completely wrong, and sure. it's scaring me. And so I told him, we have to leave.
Yeah, I mean, when it's getting to the point of, you know, danger like that, yeah. I mean, you know, what would happen next? That's yeah. really the question. And with its attention on to you and to your child, mm-hmm. I understand. It's like, get out as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
So exactly. was there anything going on when you, you know, started packing things up and getting ready to get out of there? Did it know? Did it have any response to this?
You know, it's really hard to say. We didn't really have too many belongings, so really it was just we were in and out of there in a couple of days, mm-hmm. and so there really we really didn't experience anything as far as the moving process goes.
Yeah,
but I'm sure they were happy when we were gone because they didn't want us there, man.
No, they didn't.
Did the landlord ever have any more responses? Did you ever talk to him about it anymore about why you were leaving?
Once we moved, he kept our deposit and we were dead to him.
He didn't send us our deposit back or nothing.
He's one of those great landlords.
Yeah.
Well, so we couldn't get a hold of him anymore.
So what do you think, retrospectively now, all these years later, looking back on this place, what do you think was going on? What do you think was in that house?
I don't know. You know, it's like obviously something was there before, but I think because I've always been sensitive to it, it was obviously maybe more attracted to us. Because even now, our daughter is very sensitive. She has things have happened in this house that she has seen and experienced. And it's like it's almost like, you know, I don't know if it was brought on more intense because of my sensitivity, and my daughter obviously has a sensitivity to it. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It was.
And I do think it did have something to do with, because like I said, when we first started chatting here, that we saw strange drawings
yeah.
on the basement wall.
Yeah. I
don't know enough about that stuff to say exactly what it was. All I know is that it was weird symbols mm-hmm. that were not drawn by children. They were very, you can tell that there was detail to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to say what I think they were or anything because I don't know.
Did you ever take pictures?
No, what I did is I went and painted hearts over them. I was like, why did the landlord leave this on? I couldn't understand why he left them in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if you don't care, they're here. Because I just didn't put any thought to it. I was like, oh, somebody just put this on there. So I just went to paint and drew hearts on it and wrote love and just, you know, just kind of being obnoxious. Because I was like, yeah, I don't want that on my wall, you know? Yeah.
Looking back, I do wish we would have taken pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't put any thought into what was about to happen to us. So.
Sure. That would be very interesting if there would be a way to see what that, you know, what they had been, you know, and what it may correlate to, especially, you know, today with the ways that you can kind of trace those sort of things.
Yeah.
So you get out of there, you're at your new place and, you know, you still are having experiences. Is it a different feeling, though, than what you had at the other place? Do you feel like what is happening now is a completely separate from what you had experienced at that house?
Oh yes, definitely. It's not negative at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. It just started off with little things. Like I would notice my daughter watching stuff around the house and I'd see her watching things with her eyes and stuff. And I'd be like, what are you looking at? And she'd be like, nothing, you know, just all little, but then it would start again, her toys would start going off. You know, we would hear, my son had a office chair upstairs. You would hear it moving, just roll right across the floor. Nobody's here but me, you know, and the baby. Anyway, she was a toddler then, mm-hmm. but you'd hear the footsteps. You'd hear, you know, my daughter and I have been playing in the kitchen before, and flat out, we heard a little girl go, hello. And my daughter just looked at me and she's like, you heard that, right? I'm like, oh, I try to excuse it away. She's like, Mom, I heard it. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter, one time her and my son were here. Doug and I were at a concert. My son just sends me a message. He's like, Mom, I'm freaking out. We're laying on the couch watching a movie and we just heard somebody run up the stairs. He's like, the dog took up after it and I'm freaking out. And I was like, he's like, you know, she's really scared, our daughter. And I was like, you're going to have to go up there. You have to go up the stairs and show her there's nothing there. He's like, I don't want to, though. You know, he's like older. He's like way older her. She's 23 now. She's 9. And he was about 18 at the time. He's like, Mom, it just, because we have a baby, we have a gate at the top, so she won't sleepwalk. And he's like, I literally heard feet stomping all the way up the stairs. He's like, but the gate didn't open. I was like, you have to go up there to show her that there's nobody up there. Otherwise, she's going to be scared. And so he told me he went up there and he said he'd never been so freaked out in his life. Because he said it was so loud. You know, the dog ran up after whatever it was. And then he told my daughter, you know, it was nothing. It was just the AC. I can't remember what excuse he made. Well, she came up to me a few weeks later and she's like, Mommy, why did brother lie to me? I'm like, what do you mean lie to you? She's like, I saw her. I was like, saw who? She's like, I saw the lady running up the stairs. And I remember, I remember my whole body just went into chills. And I was like, what lady? And she's like, that night when it was me and brother, she's like, I saw her running. And she was described this woman head to toe, everything she was wearing, her hair, everything. And I asked her, I was like, did she look at you? And she's like, she kind of glanced at the side, but she was just running really fast up the stairs. And it was just like, you know, as much as Doug and I have seen investigating stuff, I have to tell you, that's probably one of the creepiest moments ever in my life. But she was emotional. You know, she was like telling me she looked so real. She's like, she wasn't, my daughter described her as not being see-through. She's like, she said she looked like she had skin like us. It's like she was so confused as to what she saw. It was just a very emotional thing for her to share with me.
Sure. So, when she shared that and you're taking all of this in, what's going through your mind? Obviously, you know, you believe that she had this experience. Are you tying any other things together? Is there anything else that yourself or any of the other kids had happened that also really kind of correlates?
Well, we had just done an investigation the week before.
Oh.
And so I certainly think that might be something that possibly followed us home.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Yeah. When something like that happens, when something follows someone home, how do you reverse that? How do you take them back to where they belong? Or what does one do?
Well, that was the first time that had happened to us, I think. And that, I think, I don't know if that wasn't after our first one, was it? It was years later. But we started saging. We didn't know anything about saging or smudging or anything. Mm-hmm. And so we have some people who are really knowledgeable about that stuff that we know. So, you know, we met up with them and they gave us a bunch of tips on saging and smudging. And so we took their advice and did that a few times in our house, and it really seems to work. It seems to make the energy die down, and it makes a lighter feeling in the air. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've been doing.
And we also learned when we leave it, because in the beginning we would kind of just leave a location and kind of come home. We've learned to make sure we have our own little speech thing that we do to make sure that they know they cannot follow us home. We learned very quickly to make sure we do that at every location.
Sure. When you do the smudging, what were some of the things that you were surprised to learn how to do? Obviously, just burning it is one thing, but walking around and performing, what are some of those things that stood out to you that you know one must do, for best results, if you will?
Well, the thing is, when we smudge, we don't follow a script. We even incorporate some cuss words like "get the F out of our house" kind of thing. You know what I mean? But really, what it is you just got to make sure we use a feather. I wouldn't go to the store and buy something they claim is an eagle feather, because we learned it's actually against the law for retail stores to sell genuine eagle feathers. Sure. I didn't know that, but that's a fact.
Yeah.
So if they say it's an eagle feather, don't believe it, unless you find one. But just, we use a feather just because it seems to move the smoke off the end of the stick. We use white sage just because A, we like how it smells the best, and B, it tends to smoke a little bit more. And so you just got to make sure you go to every single corner of the house, the closets and linen closets and laundry rooms and bathrooms included, and you got to open up all your doors and windows. So the energy has a way to flow out with the smoke. And, you know, we had never done it before. So learning these things and putting them into practice in our own house has made a huge difference.
And make sure that you are put a strong presence that this is your home. They're not welcome here and you want them to leave. You know, mm-hmm. You have to show them that you are in control in this house and you do not want them in your house, that they need to leave. They aren't invited. So that's, we even incorporate our daughter. We'll have her walk around with us, mm-hmm. especially in her room, because that's where we tend to have a lot of weird energy going on sometimes. Because you can always tell in certain areas of the house where even when we're staging, things will start sparking. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. You can feel when things start, when it's, you know, really starting to react to what we're doing. So we sage quite often, actually. We have to, just because it's always here, no matter what. But it, like I said, it's not negative. Mm-hmm. It's just more like constant.
Sure.
That, and we investigate all the time.
Yeah, we do.
So there's always that possibility of something coming back home. That wraps up our first part of the conversation with Francis and Doug Weber in part two. Did they ever investigate the history of their first haunted house? And who or what haunts the house that they live in today? And do they think their houses are haunted, or is it more their family? Also, what happened when Francis and Doug investigated the Ohio State Reformatory, also known as the Mansfield Reformatory? Those questions and more stories in part two. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program, patreon.com/thegravetalks, or search The Grave Talks on the Patreon app, or go to our website, thegravetalks.com, and click Become a Gravekeeper. When you do, you get access to our bonus part two episodes. You get access to advanced episodes of the show months before they're released to the public in their entirety, and all of it is commercial free. Check it out, patreon.com/thegravetalks. Help keep us on the air and enjoy all the bonus content we give to you. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
This is Lele Pons from Suite 305 with Lele Pons. Suite 305 with Lele Pons is brought to you by Duracell. Game day at my house, it's chaos, but the fun kind. The TV's ready, the remotes are ready, the kids' toys are going off, somebody's blasting music in the kitchen, and suddenly everybody needs batteries at the exact same time. That's why I keep my Duracell batteries stocked. They keep for 12 years in storage, so you know they're really good whenever you need them. And Duracell just released limited edition Duracell and Messi battery packs. The design is inspired by Messi's iconic left leg tattoo. So every battery feels like it comes with an extra kick. The Messi level power for all your everyday devices. From the TV remote to automatic corkscrew, Duracell keeps us game day ready. Duracell double and triple A batteries are the only ones built different with power boost ingredients for long-lasting performance. So whether you're hosting the whole crew or just trying to survive the halftime chaos, power your devices with the battery brand trusted for all of it, Duracell. Find the limited edition Duracell and Messi batteries in the store at Lowe's and Walmart or on Amazon.
The Cup is down to its final matches, and DraftKings has you covered for every single one. The DraftKings app is now available in all 50 states, so whether it's a shootout, a penalty kick, or just a regular time decision, it all happens at DraftKings. The markets are bringing the game straight to your fingertips. Wherever you are, it's DraftKings. Get the Cup going. And for new DraftKings customers, sign up with my code KSR. Spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's the code KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get $50 in predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends July 19th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Moro Casino. America. like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.